last week marked the 25th anniversary of the Glazer era. Not E-R-R-O-R, the E-R-A. I can just hear some of our listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, another award-winning edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast with the Prince of Pasco County, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Custodian of Canton. His name is Ira Kaufman. Ira, how you doing this evening?
I'm right here. I'm right here, right here, right here. I'm still flying high. How about those Chiefs?
Oh, that's right.
That's my new catchword. I didn't even know that Andy Reid says that, you know. Andy Reid at the podium, he's no day at the beach. He's okay. He ain't no Bruce Arians.
Philly writers hate him.
Yeah, he ain't no Bruce Arians at the podium. But he's a heck of a coach, as is Arians. And he's got my Chiefs one game away, baby, from a Super Bowl. You know the 24-hour rule? Well, I don't even have a 48-hour rule. How about those Chiefs? I'll say it again. I'm going to say this. And I might have said this to you in October. And I'm going to remind him of it during Super Bowl week.
Chris Russo.
But I said it. When Mahomes went out with the dislocated kneecap.
I remember this.
I said.
When you said this, yeah.
This could be the best thing that happened because before he hurt his knee, he had a bum ankle. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't playing particularly well.
No, he was
well.
Not.
So he missed, you know, three games or whatever. I think they won one of them. They beat Minnesota and lost a tough game to Green Bay, I think. But meanwhile, his ankle healed. So when he came back and his knee was okay, his ankle was okay. Meanwhile, they're on an eight-game winning streak. And I know the 49ers have a hellacious defense and a hell of a running game. And let me say it before you do. Who cares about a running game, Kaufman? Now, you know what? You've been a little better about this, Lee. You've been a little better about the running game.
I'm not anti-run. I never am. I just know it's a passing league. And I know that, if you don't have a quarterback, you're SOL.
The rumors are still swirling, Lee. Here we are. You're about to go to the Pro Bowl and face that I-4 traffic. Good luck with that, my friend. Every day brings another Jameis Root, Winston, little tidbit, you know, a little crumb. We're still trying to, you know, ruminate over the morsel that, was it Lockenfora? Now you're telling me Vegas is weighing in. How is Vegas weighing in?
Well, there's odds out there of where Rivers will wind up, and it's minus 10 with the Bucks. He's the best chance.
I know they got Super Bowl prop bets, Lee, and now they're taking bets on where Rivers is going to end
up. Hey, Bovada, you can bet when Antonio Brown's going to get pinched next.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Lee, before we go any further, this podcast is presented by my friends. That's right, my friends at Bill Curry Ford. Right there on Dale Mabry. It's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. It's a real family business, Mr. DeKemper. Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years. Right now, you can get 0% financing. I got to say that again, Lee. 0% financing plus tremendous incentive offers at Bill Curry Ford on the 2019 Ford F-150, a vehicle that you are very familiar with. The 150 XL and the 2019 Ford Escape models, in addition to plenty of others. I drive a beautiful 2020 Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. It's a tremendous vehicle. It's a great ride. I've already done things. I've changed security codes. I got seat warmers. I don't care if it's 75 degrees out. I'm putting my seat warmers on. Toast my buns over there. And you can get the best deals in town right here at Bill Curry Ford. So get your keisters here and start shopping. BillCurryFord.com.
Am I reading right about the tickets costing $9,000?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Am I reading that right?
I got to say this about your Chiefs. You said 48-hour rule?
48-hour rule.
You rarely drink anything, and you don't drink to excess when you do.
Thank you.
You should be smashed for a year, the fact that they got those Super Bowl. I know you that they were your childhood team. You had to think at one point you would never live to see it. Or again, I know you were a child when
I think I did, especially when D. Ford lined up offsides last year against the Patriots. I still hadn't gotten over that. But you know what? That served as motivation for this team. Mm. Reed alluded to that a little bit. Look, it's a very good team. Now, here's a little shout out in case the Chiefs are listening to this podcast. And you never know. If you're in Kansas City, alert them to this podcast. This guy's name's Dave Taub. He's the special teams coach. He's supposed to be one of the best in the business.
Oh,
the Chiefs always have the great special teams. Get your head out of your ass, Taub. You had a punt blocked last week. Your punt returner dropped a punt. And on Sunday, on 4th and 8, when everybody from me to DeKemper said, they're going to fake the punt, Not only they fake it, the guy's wide open. He's wide ass open, Lee. Yeah, there's nobody within 20 yards of this guy.
Everybody and their brother knew that it was likely going to be a fake punt. Got me on the couch, people in the stadium. And I will say this. This Taub guy, now my favorite beer is Big Storm Beer. No doubt about it. It's awesome beer. From our good friends at Big Storm Brewery. And they have a tap room in Clearwater, just south of Elmerton Road. They have a tap room in Odessa.
Gun Highway.
And also in Cape Coral. But I will say this. And you cannot get this. What I'm going to say, you cannot get this beer in Tampa Bay area. You cannot buy it locally. You can buy.
You've been known to mail order a bride. I don't know about mail ordering a beer.
I won't. I plead the fifth.
You plead the fifth. All right.
A brewery in Kansas called Boulevard. It's very good. It's a craft brewery. You can get some of their beers.
How do you know so much about Kansas City? You're a St. Louis kid.
Yeah, but I worked out there too. Remember, I covered the Royals once upon a time. It actually covered two or three Chiefs games. But I used to cover the Royals. So anyway, that was when I first got out of college.
Is this place still around in Kansas City?
Oh, it's huge. And outside of Big Storm Brewery, this is my favorite beer. And it sounds like this Taub, you need to get off this beer. Boulevard Pale Ale.
Ooh, I like a pale ale.
That's the best beer I've ever had. I was in Kansas City when the Bucks played there. And I was at the hotel, team hotel, and I was killing time. And I was actually waiting for Roy Cummings. We were going to go to the, and we did go to the World War One Museum. I got to the hotel before he did. He was still in flight. I'm killing time waiting for him to show up.
And you walked by Dakota Watson, and he was holding one of those beers.
Watson wasn't on the team then. But no, I went to the bar at the team hotel, the Bucks team hotel, where I was staying at. And they had this beer on tap. Okay, I'll try it. And it's the best beer I ever had. Can't get it here. That's why you need to stick with Big Storm Brewing.
Lee, speaking of Big Storm Brewery, which is going to be the site of our draft party.
Yes.
I believe it's April 23rd, and you'll be at $1, and I'll be at the draft party cavorting with our friends and Buck family. One thing I've been noticing, Lee, I think it's very impressive. I don't really remember seeing this very much. I was just going down Olmerton, and when I get towards 49th Street, I see a sign like left Big Storm Brewery. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very unusual. You don't see that about establishments.
Unless you're driving down 54.
And it kind of looks like, you know, a highway road.
It's a state sign.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Can you imagine a guy going west on Overton and he comes up to 49th Street and he sees a sign, Big Stone Brewery, left turn, and he's parched? I mean, that's an instant classic right there.
And by the way...
A disgruntled Buck fan who's looking for a drink after 12 years of no playoffs?
Plural.
Oh.
Plural.
Plural.
My goal with Big Storm Brewing, I love their beer. Bromosa, you got to have a Bromosa. JoeBucksFan.com has connections with MGM Resorts. And yes, people, we're going to have something when the Bucks travel to play
yes,
Chucky.
Yes, we are.
We're going to
yes,
have something are. Going. We have connections with MGM Resorts. And I'm going to see, by hook or crook, if we can get one of those their casinos. And they have the biggest casinos in Vegas. We can get one of their casinos to start serving Big Storm beer.
That'd be outstanding.
That's my goal. I don't know if they're even licensed to sell in Nevada.
Lee, we're going to know the Buck schedule in April, and we're not going to waste any time, and we're going to be on top of this, and we're going to organize a little trip out to Vegas.
I'll be in Vegas in March talking to these people. They know we're coming.
You're going to buy me another baseball ticket on my Giants like you did last year?
Yeah.
You did the over and under. I think it was 71. They squeaked by with 76.
There you go.
And I won $19 out of the thing.
There you go. And last thing on your Chiefs, and we'll get to the Bucks because it's not a Chiefs podcast, but the very first football game I remember that I can vividly recall was the football game that sent the Chiefs in this 50-year gutter. And you bring it up often.
All the time.
The 71... double overtime game where they lost
Day.
The Chiefs.
Christmas
Day, the final game at Memorial Stadium in Kansas City.
Still the longest game ever played in the NFL.
Yeah, you're right.
All these years later.
Still the longest game. So, Bucks. Let's talk about the Bucks. There's more Philip Rivers chatter, Ira. And it gets
it ain't
more
going
and more
away.
Big. I want to go off, but I'm trying to be professional here. There's a couple of guys that went off on Joe Bucks fan on Twitter. What are you writing about this river stuff? You're just looking for clicks. This ain't going to happen. Jason Lockenfour is writing about it. NFL Radio is talking about it. Pat Kerwin thinks it very well could happen. Here's a guy that was an executive in the NFL. I've never been an executive in the NFL. This guy's got connections all over the place. NFL Network was talking about it. Had a panel discussion. And Joe Bucks fan are the crumbs because we write about it. never mind NFL Network, never mind CBS, never mind NFL Radio. I guess that's okay. But JoeBucksFan.com can't write about it? Baloney.
You're not validating it.
No.
You're reporting it.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Lee. It's not like I'm digging it up and I'm going to say it's the guy. But one of the first people to put it out was J.C. Cornell. He's of the Draft Network. And J.C. Cornell has a pipeline to a heavy hitter to Bucks. Now, I'll tell you a story, Ira. This past spring, after Bruce Arians was hired, and we know who broke that story, Joe Bucks fan. We were all over it. J.C. Cornell had it too, but we had all the details. Cornell didn't have the details. We had all the details. When they were going to announce him, this, that, the other thing. And of course, I can't say who it is because I don't want to get people fired. But I was talking with a suit with the Bucks shortly after Arians was hired. Just me and him. He said, "Where did you get this?" And I said, "Man, I can't tell you. If I can tell you, people are going to get fired. There's no way I can tell you." I said, "Now, these people are not in their jobs anymore. 10 years from now, 15 years from now, I'll tell you. But not now." And the first thing he said was, "Let me guess."
That's how you keep your connections.
Yeah.
By doing that.
And this guy said, "Let me guess. You got it from J.C. Cornell." And this was a Bucks suit. So don't tell me J.C. Cornell's not connected. He's connected.
I see.
And so when he came out with Rivers, I have to assume that he's talking to certain people with the Bucks that are decision makers. And
supposedly this is reinforced because Rivers is moving his domicile. You know, like that clinches the whole thing.
Well, to me, I think that's a fact. Good Morning Football was talking about this.
With Kay Adams.
That, by the way, that's two shows on the NFL Network that were discussing it. The Total Access at night and Good Morning Football. So don't give me this crap, Joe Bucks fans doing this for clicks. Anyway, they were discussing this and they were talking about Rivers and the Bucks. And like, "Oh yeah, Rivers lives in Florida." People must think he moved to Orlando. Destin is where he moved to. Destin is in the panhandle. Destin is about the same distance from Tampa as Atlanta.
That's a 7-hour drive.
Yeah, could you imagine someone commuting from Atlanta to Tampa? Unless they're flying, which would be only a mental patient would
Look,
do that.
Look, from a football's perspective, let's get to the nuts and bolts here. I've said it to you before. Rivers has some very admirable qualities. His durability is tremendous. Mm-hmm. He's a borderline Hall of Fame player. I wouldn't be shocked if he got in. I don't think he's a slam dunk, but I wouldn't be shocked. However, Lee, he throws picks. And he's got talent around him. He's had Gates all these years. Keenan Allen is a stud. You know, he's a notch below Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm.
A notch.
Yeah.
You're picking the 12 best receivers in football. He might be on the list, Keenan Allen. And Mike Williams, no slouch. And Hunter Henry's a pretty good up-and-coming tight end. Mm-hmm. But the point is that he's not... Phillip Rivers is not Drew Brees that throws 7 interceptions a year.
Yeah.
He throws 16. Mm-hmm. He throws 18. He throws 20. Look, it's better than 30. But, you know, look, I keep going back to... I'm just not sure the Glazers are ready to turn the page on Jameis Winston.
Interesting.
I'm just not sure about that.
Well, you know what Kyle Brandt said? And Kyle Brandt sort of plays the goofball on Good Morning Football, even though he's got a football background. And he basically said, "Why would the Bucks want Rivers? You already have a young Rivers." That's getting to your point. You know, does Jameis throw picks? Yeah, he throws picks. So does Rivers.
And Rivers isn't going to come cheap, Lee. He's not going to come cheap.
Would he come cheaper than Jameis?
Maybe a little cheaper than Jameis.
You think so?
Well, the franchise is 27. I don't know what Rivers wants. But he's got a distinguished career. He ain't coming in for $11 million.
Derek Carr, NFL Network, you know, the brother of the Raiders quarterback, who himself was a quarterback who got beat to tar when he was with Houston because they had no offense.
So this is David Carr, the Houston guy.
Yes, yeah. David Carr. What did I say, Derek Carr?
Yeah.
I always goof those names up. I'm sorry. He threw out there, if the Bucks were smart, they would sign both Jameis and Rivers. Rivers would be your backup.
David Carr should turn in his key card for that. Turn it in. Don't let him in the building. Whoa, what's going on? You know, David Carr used to get sacked 60 times a year.
Oh, think he's got CTE?
I think it's taking its toll.
Okay.
I think it's taking its
toll. Now, specify. Why you think that's caca?
I just said the guy's a borderline Hall of Famer who still thinks he can play. Why would he come to an area where he's not going to compete for a starting job? If you're keeping Winston, you know, you're not keeping Winston for $10 million, so you're keeping him to be the starter.
Well, this argument about having Rivers as your backup, if Jameis throws 8 picks in your first 3 games, you yank him and say bye-bye.
But why is Rivers signing a contract with the Bucks? You can't force Rivers to sign a contract
true.
He doesn't want to
That's
sign.
That's true, true, true.
He's looking at Chicago saying, I can start. Mm-hmm. He's looking at Miami saying, I can start. So I think when you bring Rivers in, it means Winston's gone.
If Rivers agreed to back up Jameis, he wouldn't be getting starter money is what you're saying as well.
And that's another point, too.
Okay.
Now, I mentioned the Glazers, and I'm going to mention them again. And here we go.
Yes.
I haven't
Time
seen
flies.
I haven't seen this anywhere else, Lee. Last week marked the 25th anniversary of the Glazer era. Not E-R-R-O-R. The E-R-A. I can just hear some of our listeners.
Yeah, it's an error.
And look, they are in a 12-year playoff drought, and some people are blaming the Glazers, and they've made their share of mistakes. Lee, there's no question about it over the years.
Back-to-back.
And they've made some coaching hires that have not worked out.
That's what I'm getting
since
at.
Since getting rid of Chucky. But they're also the guys that hired the first coach they ever hired has a Boston Canton. Let's not forget that.
Mm-hmm.
The second coach they hired won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's not too bad either.
And by the way, I can hear people saying, well, that was Malcolm. People forget that Al Davis press conference to announce that trade. Davis said it was Joel Glazer who called him up in the middle of the night proposing a trade. And initially, because apparently Al Davis didn't like the Glazers. And so he initially told Joel Glazer, I'm not talking to you. I'll talk to Rich McKay. Have Rich McKay call. And Joel Glazer replied, we fired him. I swear to you, that's what Davis said in the press
fired
conference.
Him in terms of leading the coaching charge.
Well, Al Davis said that he was told that they fired Rich McKay. So if you want to know why the Bucks are cursed, they made a deal with the devil, Al Davis. They got their Super Bowl, and now they're paying for it.
It does. It almost sounds like a deal at the crossroads where you sell your soul.
Yeah, they
there.
Lied to Davis to get their coach.
You know, but Lee, to be fair, you know, when you compare the Glazer
allegedly
era,
lied. Allegedly.
The Glazer era to the Culver House era, there's no comparison.
Oh.
You can't say the Glazers are cheap. Culver House was notoriously cheap. Culver House's claim to fame was he made NFL owners a lot of money with tax loopholes.
Yeah, he was
That's
a lawyer,
what
right?
He, did.
He represented them.
He's also was that very much on the forefront of that crazy replacement players.
Was he?
In 1987, which was the second work stoppage year. It was a 15-game season. 82 was a 9-game season. But that's where they used replacement players for 3 weeks. That's a joke, Lee. And who's behind that? You call the house.
Well, Sean Payton got his only NFL snaps that
You're
way.
Right.
I'm sure there was a few others.
And you know who flourished in those regards in 82 and 87? Joe Gibbs. You know why?
Yeah.
Because Joe Gibbs is smart.
He took it seriously.
And Joe Gibbs knew that these players are going to come back and you don't alienate them. And other guys didn't treat it like that. Gibbs walked a fine line. They signed smart players as replacements. And he won Super Bowls both of those years. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Weren't the Redskins actually holding practices, team practices during the strike? And Gibbs was giving them playbooks and stuff to work
maybe
on?
Maybe not so much organized, but you're right. You know, there were informal team practices. Among the regular players,
you're
right. And so they hit the ground running when the work stoppage was over. Mm-hmm. Boom, they were right back. But, you know, let's look at the Glazers for a second, Lee. Overall grade. Well, they won a darn Super Bowl, Lee. I mean, you walk in the lobby of that building, you got all those figures in bronze.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a hell of a sight. You got the Lombardi Trophy staring you in the face. There are teams in this league that don't have one.
Yeah, Detroit.
And the Bucks have it.
Chargers.
You know, we had our glory days. They look like, you know, they're down the corner a little bit. But overall, they brought the Super Bowl to Tampa, and we can never forget that.
Would you give them a B?
I think I'd give them a B.
That's what I would give them. Something you haven't brought up, which is a feather in their cap, they helped get that stadium built. To me, that's big.
That's one of the better stadiums in the league.
Yeah.
Still.
It's not a bad stadium. It doesn't have bells and whistles like a lot of stadiums.
But
do.
It's holding up pretty well. And you know what? They have gotten involved with the community. You can't say they haven't. Especially Bryant.
Yeah. Well, Darcy.
And Darcy. Yes. Yes.
I'm not saying it's a bad stadium. It doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles, but as far as a sight line just to go watch a game, it's very good. Especially if you're in the lower bowl. Very good. But it doesn't have a lot of features and bells and whistles. I mean, looking at a pirate ship only goes so far. Thankfully, they upgraded the scoreboard.
Lee, if Arians could turn this thing around, that grade would go up. You know, so we'll see, because as you mentioned many times on this podcast, and I don't think anybody can deny it, Bruce Arians is not here for the long haul. He's just not. He's not. He'll probably be the first to tell you that.
That also kind of fuels the fire with the Rivers.
It does. It plays into the Rivers angle a little bit, yes.
Because obviously he's not here for the future. People, and I don't know where they get this. I have no idea where they get this. Like a reflex. Oh, they're cheap.
Really? And they don't want to win. I've heard that too.
Ah, that's nonsense. We know better now. That's number one. But the other piece of nonsense, that they're cheap. Do people not understand how many millions of dollars they paid coaches not to coach?
That's a pretty good point.
They paid a fortune for Lovey to go away, for Shannon to go away, for Chucky to go away.
Old contracts don't bother them in the least.
A fortune. They're far from cheap. Far from cheap.
Now, the one model that has backfired on them, Lee, up to this point, and we'll see about Arians. We're only 1 year into the Arians era, but they believe sort of like placing the coach above the general manager. Mm-hmm. They're going to pick the coach. Other teams don't do it like that.
Most teams don't.
Most of them don't.
Unfortunately, there's one team that
now, when
does
you have it. A Belichick, you know, I understand it gets skewed a little bit.
Yeah, there's one team, unfortunately, that does do that. And unfortunately, they're the Bucks of the AFC, Browns.
Yeah.
So it's not a good track record of picking the coach and then you pick your GM. It's not a great track record. Maybe that will change with Arians in light. I don't know.
Why do you say... to claim that the Glazers are just counting their money and don't care whether this team is successful or not in the standings. Why do you say that's nonsense?
We're fortunate to get to see the behind-the-scenes stuff that most people do not. We've seen their reactions as they're heading to the locker room after a big win. I mean, they're jumping up and down, they're pumping their fist. You know, if they didn't care, they wouldn't be at all these road games. If they didn't care, they wouldn't be at the home games. They would just watch on TV or something.
I've been told many times by the Glazers themselves, we never miss a game.
Is that right?
We never miss a game.
I mean, I don't always see them, but I'm not always looking for them either. You know, to me, I don't think it's a big deal if they go to a game or not. This is when it looked like the Bucks had really turned a corner. The week after they beat the Chiefs on the road, they went to San Diego and beat the Chargers. They were jubilant. They were like, I mean, they look like you or I if we won the lottery or something.
They've also played a pivotal role in getting Super Bowls to Tampa.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, yeah. Which, without that stadium, that doesn't happen. So, yeah, I'd give them a B. Yeah, that's utter nonsense that they don't care about winning. Well, they care about winning. If they didn't care about winning, they would have never fired Lovely after 2 years. I mean, they shouldn't have hired him in the first place, but that's another story. You know, people say, oh, they go through coaches. Well, one reason they're going through coaches, they want to win.
One thing you hear, and it's interesting, when Malcolm was incapacitated in the mid-2000s by a stroke that, you know, eventually led to his demise, some fans are kind of tracing that moment to where the Bucks didn't have much success after that point. And they think that Malcolm being out of the picture contributed to that. In the beginning, I poo-pooed that. I didn't give it any credence. But here we are 12 years later, and the facts are the facts. So, Lee, while Malcolm Glazer did not have a firm hand on the day-to-day operations of this franchise. However, he set a tone.
Mm.
He did set a tone. And I know for a fact that when the Glazers hired Dungy in 96, that's 1 year into their ownership, Malcolm Glazer and Tony Dungy, Lee, had a very special relationship.
Oh, is that right?
Very special. They would talk about families to each other all the time.
Wow.
Tony was closer with Malcolm than he was any other part of the Glazer family. And that's kind of interesting. You know, a 70-year-old man that from a different background, religion, different part of the country. And those two had a tremendous bond together.
Wasn't Malcolm from Rochester upstate New York?
I think so.
And it wasn't like he grew up in a family of means.
He did not.
And neither did Dungy. His dad was a preacher. Those guys, generally, unless they're televangelists, don't have money coming out of their ears.
He might have been a professor, Dungy's father. He could have been a professor. I can't
Dungy's
remember.
Father?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. I thought he was a preacher. He was a minister.
All right. So we're both giving him a B. We'll see what, I don't see any signs that they want to sell this franchise, Lee. And I know for a fact there's people out there that would gobble it up in about 2 seconds. You certainly can't lose money as an NFL
owner. I was going to say, there are very few things that are guaranteed to make money, and an NFL team is one of them. It's basically a license to print money. I mean, it's like having a ATM at a casino. I mean, you're going to make money. Now, back to the Rivers, just a little bit here, Ira. I was listening to Pat Kerwin, NFL radio, ex-front office guy, ex-linebackers coach.
Sharp guy.
Ex-Buck scout, and his claim to fame isn't necessarily being player personnel director of the Jets. It's being the man who handed in the card to draft Bo Jackson.
That's outstanding.
He was the man who handed in the card at the draft to the commissioner.
He will live in infamy. Infamy.
There's a famous picture out there with him in a big old smile with the card. It says Bo Jackson.
After Jackson told Culverhouse, I'm not coming.
Yeah, so that's Pat Kerwin's claim to fame. Now, you know, he was talking about Jameis and Rivers, and he's fed up with Jameis, although he understands Jameis has a huge upside. He's, like a lot of people, you know, the picks bother him. He said it on Tuesday afternoon on NFL Radio, SiriusXM NFL Radio. I think this is just, and it's not the first time he said this, I think this is ridiculous. And if you did this with Jameis in negotiations, to me, you're chasing the guy away. I know a lot of fans want to chase him away. But Kerwin said he'd basically go up to Jameis, take it or leave it, $20 million. Okay. That's more than insulting.
I think Winston's answer is simple. I'll take my chances with free agents.
Yeah, see ya. Bye. $20 million. I mean, they're a scrub. I get it, the picks, but goodness gracious, 33 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. Those guys aren't walking the street. He's only the eighth quarterback in history to do that. And people are acting like, no big deal. $20 million? Come on.
You know the best thing that can help Jameis Winston? Tell him not to throw the ball 48 times a game. That's the biggest thing. If he throws the
Jameis
ball...
Is that Arians?
That's not Jameis. That's what they're ordering up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't have a running game. They don't have any balance.
That's true. No.
If he throws 45 passes, he's going to throw 25 picks. That's the way it is.
That's interesting. I really didn't think of it, but you're right. Now, I can't remember if it was Jim Miller, who was Pat Kerwin's co-host on Moving the Chains. He's had a cup of coffee with Chucky. He's an ex-NFL quarterback. One of the two said, you can't expect Arians not to be Arians. You know, they were talking about what options are out there if you don't get Jameis. The free agents that are available. Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning.
Bridgewater.
Yeah, and they said, you can't expect Arians, especially this late in life,
for lack of
a better term.
That's right.
To expect him to trash his offense and go dink and dunk or something. Arians is going to be Arians.
And they throw Andy Dalton into that mix, too, the same thing.
So Arians is going to be Arians, and that means you're going to throw it deep, and you're going to throw it a lot. They're basically saying Eli Manning, probably not, because he's not a long ball thrower
anymore. Tom Brady doesn't have the arm.
I don't know that. I've heard that, but I don't know that. But they were saying, you know, whether it's Jameis, whether it's Rivers, whomever, that's the way it's going to be. You cannot expect Arians' age, 67, to be changed. He's not going to change. But I just think that $20 million, I think that's... that is just utterly ludicrous. I understand why Kerwin is like a take it or leave it guy, but $20 million, come on.
I don't buy the notion that the Bucks hold all the cards here, that the Bucks have all the leverage. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Wait,
people who think that the Bucks have all the leverage here, I don't see it necessarily like that.
And
we don't know what the free agent market for Jameis Winston is. We're not sure.
No, we don't.
We really don't. I told you about that Bears fan. You know, Mark Dittler, you know him and I know him.
Yeah, he's 18 months old.
He lives in Chicago.
Yeah.
He says, I'll take him in a second.
Mark Dittler's an AP sports writer, by the way, based in Tampa. Yeah, he's a big Bears fan. Yeah, I remember him. He told me that. He goes, I'd take Winston in a heartbeat. And I guess if Trubisky was the other option, sure you would.
You're right.
And I'm just going to say, as I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I got this today. And why can't you see these picks? You got to get rid of them because of these picks. Well, it's real simple. Picks, possibly... You could cut down on the picks. I don't know if you can go out and find a quarterback. I don't care where. Let's put it this way. Your chances of cutting down picks are a whole lot better than finding a quarterback who can throw like Jameis. And I used a analogy today with a guy. I said, Mike Alstott. He went through a period of fumbleitis, bad fumbleitis. I said, I didn't hear anybody wanting to burn his house down and chase him out of town. They worked on him with the fumbles. He overcame it. And he's a borderline Hall of Famer. Yeah, he's in it's a long shot, but as you would say, he's in the discussion. I don't think he'll ever make it, but he's sort of in this, maybe as a senior member.
And Lee, you've never said that if you decide to keep Winston, you shouldn't draft the quarterback in the draft. Yeah. You never said that.
No. And I'm okay if he throws, 30 picks again next year and you don't make the playoffs. If you want to move on, I understand that. But I am loathe to get rid of a guy that produces. And he produces. Yeah, he's got picks. He also I'm a big production guy.
And Lee, you also have to put it in the context of what kind of team you have. By that, I mean, Lee, if they had a strong run game and a proven defense, and like you said, the defense improved, but it's not a proven defense. If you had a proven defense and a strong run game, you might be tempted to bring in Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
And win 9 or 10 games
and take
and
a chance.
Draft somebody in the third round.
And take your chances in the playoffs.
We don't have that.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
You know, that's a good point. Getting back to what you talked about with Aaron, you can't expect them to change right now. The Bucs are not built to run. I mean, it would help if they had a decent running back and kind of gave you a little bit of a threat, but they're not built for ground and pound, I mean.
And the O-line's better at pass protection than running.
Yeah, too. So to build a ground-and-pound team, you're talking 2, 3, 4 years down the road. Here's something I learned when I was just out of college. At the time, Illinois football was okay. Mike White was a coach for a while, who later was a Raiders coach. He was on Vermeil's staff in St. Louis when they won the Super Bowl. Well, when McAvick went to Texas, his defensive coordinator was a guy by the name of Lou Tepper. Old SEC fans should remember that name because he was defensive coordinator at LSU after he left Illinois, and he was awful for Jerry DiNardo. And Lou Tepper takes over. I'll never forget his introductory press conference. He's like, "We're going to run the ball." I'm thinking to myself, well, you better hope you go find some horses because you sure don't have the horses now. You're a passing offense. Sure enough, he tried to run the ball with a passing offense. They stunk. And that was, by the way, Simeon Rice was on the team at the time. They stunk offense. Defensively, they're very good. They were horrible offensively. And in my 20s, I learned right then and there, if you want to do something on offense, whether it be passing, whether it be running, you better have the horses to do it. Because if you don't, you're urinating in the wind.
There's a guy who doesn't build the scheme around the personnel. That's a loser.
Thank you. To me, the best coaches, Belichick, Don Shula, just spring to mind right away. They build their teams around their personnel. You know, Shula's a perfect example. He was ground and pound with Bob Greasy. Then Marino comes around and that's wing the ball 50 times a game. That's a coach. He won so many games. Belichick the same way. You know, Belichick was ground and pound in Cleveland, if I remember correctly. He goes to New England. He has Brady. Well, let's wing the ball, you know. So, yeah, I mean, good coaches do that. But we're getting off the beaten path, which I tend to do a lot. But here's one about Cam Brady. The Bucs put out a season in review package, which is, I'm sure you saw it, which is basically like a media guide of the entire 2018 season. And they have stats coming out the years. Now, it's pretty clear the tight ends were de-emphasized with the Bucs this past year. O.J. Howard doesn't look anything like a first-round pick. He's certainly not a blocker. They tried to turn him into a blocker. Brait was de-emphasized. But you know what? There was one game this year where Brait tied a franchise record for tight end catches. 10 catches in a game for a tight end. That tied a franchise record. So Brait still has it. The New Orleans home game. He caught 10 passes. You know, if Irons wanted to incorporate tight ends a little bit more, or Leftwich, depending who you believe came up with the game plan, Brait still has it. He's got some value, but the thing is, the Bucs have put out either and said, either directly or indirectly, well, we want Shaq back. We want Jameis back. We want Sue back. We want Perriman back. Well, then you're not going to have everybody back. And I hate to say it because I like the guy so much, but Cam Brayton, that $6 million a year contract at a position that's been de-emphasized, that's a bullseye. I hate to say it.
And the problem in the whole scenario is Howard has not emerged as a bona fide star.
Yeah.
If he had, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. We'd say Brayton's got to go. Brayton's got to go.
Now, Brayton's obviously a very bright guy, economics major from Harvard. I don't know if the Bucs would do this, but if you're Cam Brayton, what we're saying right now in your podcast, you know he knows. You know he's thinking about it. If you're, he's probably on thin ice because of that contract. If you're Cam Brayton and the Bucs go up to him and say, can you rework your contract? We might give you a couple extra years, some security. You might have to take less money, but it'll be security.
I think you'd have to look at that seriously. Yeah, I think if I'm great, I have to seriously consider doing it.
And Buck's too, you too, right?
He likes the area.
He built a house, I heard.
He's respected in the locker room.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. He didn't build a house. He bought a house in South Tampa. I know who his significant other is, and she's a professional in Tampa. She's starting her own business, so I know she doesn't want to leave. I am assuming, and Brett likes it here, clearly. And I was saying this to Jeff Cameron, our friend up at ESPN Tallahassee. He had me on radio this week, and he called me this morning. I threw that out there. I said,
his hands are so dependable that when he made that drop, and it was a fourth down drop.
Yeah.
Boy, that really shocked everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're not used to that.
No.
You know, other guys could drop balls.
You're like, it happens. You
know, yeah, it happens.
Cam, you're like, whoa.
Absolutely.
I know Bucks fans are, and you too, and I'm not saying this is bad, are pining for the Bucks to draft a tackle. And a lot of people think if you draft the right tackle, you know, they're sitting there, they're rubbing their hands together. Donovan Smith's out of here in 1 year, and this guy could get moved to left tackle. But I'm not willing to go there yet. I don't think that the Bucks believe Donovan Smith is as bad as so many people make him out to be. But we know Arians has stated, and famously stated, over a year ago on Barstool Sports when he did their sit-down with a 20-minute interview, that he said if you draft offensive linemen, because spread offenses are prevalent in college, they're not in the pros, although they do run some variances of a spread here or there, that the blocking is so different if you draft an offensive lineman, you're developing him for your next coach because it's going to take that long to develop him. Now, I was listening to Pat Kerwin on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and a buddy of his, I find him, he's on there all the time. I find him to be awfully dry. He's an ex-offensive line coach in the NFL, guy by the name of Paul Alexander. You really got to be in the right mood to listen to him. It's so dry. But he said something that made me think of Arians saying it's going to take too long to develop offensive linemen, so you don't draft them high. Evidently, this Alexander goes to various football camps and teaches technique and fundamentals about offensive line. NFL, college. He goes to Germany sometimes, and he was talking about some kind of four-zone cone drill. I'm not going to bore people with it because it was boring, even for me. But he said it drove him nuts because he always heard footsteps. You're thinking, footsteps? Well, hell yeah, these guys are monsters. They're like horses. Well, he went on to explain, with proper technique and fundamentals, you don't hear footsteps. And he talked about in the NFL. You won't hear footsteps from these guys because they're using proper technique. They're using proper fundamentals. He goes, if you hear footsteps from offensive linemen, he goes, their technique is way off. And he's been at the Senior Bowl this week. He was sitting in on offensive line drills for both the East and West teams. And he said, all I heard was footsteps. These guys got a long way to go. Now, think about this. These are supposed to be the best college football players out there. And you got an ex-offensive line coach saying their fundamentals are so off, they need a lot of work. And Arians, again, a year and a half ago, said, you draft one of these guys, you're developing him for the next coach. That sort of backs up that it's a possibility the Bucks will not draft an offensive lineman early.
I'm glad you brought this up, Mr. DeKemper, because I was doing a little research on my telephone.
It's bunk?
Right before we started this podcast.
On your telephone?
On my telephone. Yes, that's right. It does more than just call out and get calls. And you didn't know what
I
was looking
up. Did you get a dial tone on that phone?
But I knew that you were going to bring up this offensive lineman, and I'm going to tell you what happened. In short, Bruce Arians was spooked. And I'm using that word deliberately. Spooked. I knew you were going to bring this up. Here's my trivia question. I know the Mad Dog all week long, he's doing Super Bowl trivia. I'm giving you a trivia question. Who was the first player that the Cardinals drafted in 2013 when Bruce Arians came to town? Opened up the Bruce Arians era in Glendale, Arizona. Who was the first draft pick? Him and Steve Keim. Who'd they come up with?
The right tackle from Penn State?
He was a guard named Jonathan Cooper.
Okay.
And Mr. Jonathan Cooper messed his knee up as a rookie, wrecked his rookie season, came back the next year, his knee was fine, his play wasn't. He was a bum. And I think Arians got spooked about that.
Oh.
Because the very first pick, and you know he had some input with the Cardinals.
You would think so.
You know, and I understand Keim's the general manager, As a matter of fact, light might have been in the room.
Uh-oh.
Because it's 2013, and I think light came along in 2014.
Okay.
With Lovey. Am I
yes,
wrong?
Yes, you're right. Yes. He did come up with Lovey.
So I think light was in the room, and they drafted Jonathan Cooper, who's a guard, and he didn't pan out. And I don't think Arians will draft an offensive lineman in the first round. I don't think he will, especially at 14. The guy's going to have to be awfully good to pass the Arians test. We shall see.
All right, before Ira wraps up the podcast, we want to remind you about Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. Those are fantastic cyber bowling nights at Pin Chasers. Great food, great fun, and a different special for each night. So go to pinchasers.net, click on daily specials. You'll see what they've got for every single day. Free shoes all the time. And if you work weekends and you can't work, again, get out there and have a good time Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. Monday is Dollar Mania starting at 9 o'clock. Bring $6 for a wristband. Enjoy dollar games of bowling, draft beers, Pepsi, and hot dogs. It's fantastic. Free shoes all the time. Pinchasers.net, great for a party. And we're going to get back to Ira right now. We appreciate Big Storm Brewing Company and our draft party information. Save the date is now at joebucksfan.com. Of course, go visit Sean Sullivan, General Manager Bill Curry Ford. Personally, he will take care of you. Where else are you going to go? To a dealership in the Tampa Bay area where a GM is going to give you loving assistance, because he's just a great guy. He's not going to love you and hug you, but he's a great dude. BillCurryFord.com, a real Bucks fan. Talk Bucks with him. Talk about vehicles. Even if you're thinking 6 weeks down the road, you got a lease coming up, go talk to Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. And we thank everybody who listens. So many of you listen all the way through. It's amazing. The numbers on the listen-through rate for this podcast, fantastic. You can subscribe at iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Leave a review if you want. And let's get back to the fellas, and we'll see you for two more episodes next week.
Lee, I want to wish you good luck because you are braving I-4 this week to go to the Pro Bowl. And I don't want you stuck in one of those hellacious traffic jams. So
let's put this.
I know you got alternate routes in your phone over there, all set up.
I think this is my sixth time. I've been living in Florida.
That's amazing.
I've been living in the Tampa Bay area for 20 years, more than 20 years, for 22 years. And I think I've been to Orlando 5 times. And what spooked me was the first year I lived in Florida, an old friend of mine, his in-laws are from Orlando. And he was visiting them for Christmas. And he said, hey, come on over. We'll have a couple of beers. I got to be with the in-laws. It's a Friday night. But how about you meet me at 10 o'clock? I'm okay, I'll meet him at 10 o'clock. So I'm going to Orlando. It's 10 o'clock at night in Orlando. Dead stop traffic on I-4. You could have run laps around my car.
Were you going east or west?
Eastbound. At 10 o'clock on a Friday night, Christmas weekend. Dead. I mean, solid stop traffic. I'll say this
and
again.
And no accident.
Not
no
to my accident. Knowledge. And I could have run laps around my car, and I wouldn't have had anybody honk at me for getting out of the way or getting moving. Ever since then, I've been spooked about Orlando traffic, and I'm a water guy. I like to be near water. And the way I look at it, and I want your response to this, then we'll go out. If you're going to live in the middle of Florida, might as well live in Carbondale.
That's not bad, Lee.